1Password is one of the most popular password management tools available. They've been remote since the beginning, over 13 years, and they have some really interesting remote practices. They have audio only on their conference calls, they do company cruises, and they have a really large office in Toronto that is mostly empty. Interested in learning more? Well, stay tuned. As you know, Building Remote Teams is a brand new podcast. And to celebrate our launch, we have some really awesome discounts to give you from some of our favorite tools for remote teams. We have discount tools for 1Password, Donut, Hey Taco, Carrot, BirthdayBot, KarmaBot, and a ton more. All you need to do is to go to buildingremoteteams.com and subscribe with your email. You'll get a link to the page with all of the recommended tools and discounts that I mentioned above. Now, on to the show. Hey everyone, welcome back to Building Remote Teams. I'm here with Matt Davey. He's the COO of 1Password. Welcome, Matt.
Thanks very much for having me.
It is my pleasure. You guys also have a podcast as well. Was it Random and Memorable? Is that it?
Random but Memorable, yeah. So we're kind of trying to name it along what you should use for your passwords. So something that is random, but you know, for your master password, you definitely need to be memorable.
Yes, and the podcast itself, when I've listened to it, it's pretty random, but it's got some memorable stuff on it, so it's perfect.
Yeah, we like to say that, you know, each one of us is both perhaps random and maybe memorable sometimes.
I love it. Great. Well, thanks for coming on the show. So Matt, I understand, you know, your team started off as a remote company. You now have 150 people, but you guys are pretty unique. So tell us a little bit about how you guys got started building your company, deciding to go remote, and then interesting stories related to how you guys decided to get an office as well.
Sure. So I guess the place to start is that we've always been remote. There was no decision to kind of be remote. It started in with two friends building software, Rustam Karimov and Dave Thier. And yeah, they always wanted it to be remote. So when I joined, there were 24 people, and I think I was one of maybe three or four in England. And so right away, they had made the decision to go like full remote, as in not base it on any kind of time zone or anything like that. So the really interesting thing was that it wasn't really a decision. It just... It was just there for them.
So did it happen because they were in the same place working, or they weren't in the same place working, pardon me? And then they're like, well, let's just do the company this way. Like, what was it? How did it just kind of roll into this remote kind of first company?
Well, I think it started because there were two of them, and then you know, they needed help. And so they got a friend, and that they weren't in the same place. So I think having an office has always been quite a scary thing to them. And, you know, when we decided to get an office, and I think we were about 60, 70 people when we got our first office, we're now on our third one. So as in, you know, we've moved, not we have three.
But oh, got it. Okay. That's a good clarification.
we do have two now, but that's a bit at the end of the story, I guess. So yeah, when we got our kind of first location, we were about 60, 70 people. And, you know, when it was announced, we were kind of like, oh, wow, like we're a real company. and two, you know, there's an element of, oh, we need to work out who's going to, you know, restock the coffee, who's going to get the creamer and all that kind of stuff. And we were like, oh, this is, you know, this is something that we haven't dealt with before. So yeah, we kind of went the other way. I think for most companies who have an office and then decide to go remote and have to do like, you know, oh, how are we going to treat these people? How are we going to do all this? For us, it was like, how are we going to dictate who needs to be in the office and when, and that kind of stuff. And
it's pretty unusual. The backward is usually backwards. Like it's like they're in an office and then they get rid of it or something. So how did you guys, so you guys were all remote. Were you guys periodically getting together for retreats or going to conferences to like just meet up in person? Or did people like not meet in person at all, apart from, I guess, the two founders who knew each other somehow?
Yeah. So, I mean, we did meet at conferences. And so we would all agree to go to a conference and then, you know, we'd all meet up and then we'd be like, oh, do you remember that feature? We really wanted to build that. And then we would end up building the feature, hanging out in the hotel lobby and kind of, you know, just hacking away on this in on this feature, and the designs would be done. The designers would be like, you know, using this tiny little trackpad instead of their full office gear set up at home. And the reason why the office kind of really started was we were getting to a size where when all of you descended on this hotel lobby to create something, you'd start getting kind of shifty looks from the concierge of be like, okay, who are all these people with laptops out?
How many people are we talking about sitting around in the hotel lobby?
The biggest one I think I was a part of, I think there were about 20 of us. and then, you know, you get kind of looks of like, are they going to be here all day? And most of the time the answer was, yes, we're going to be there all day. I'm sorry.
So you guys weren't actually going to the conference to listen to the talks or network. It sounds like you were there just to hang out and just to build features.
Just to, you know, do that thing of being all in the same location that for us mm-hmm. was a kind of a new thing. Mm. You know, that the product is 13 years old now, I believe. And this is how we've always done it.
Very cool. Okay, so you're at these hotels in these lobbies. You're getting potentially kicked out, or at least funny looks, and people are starting to get awkward. So how did that progress into getting an office space?
So we decided to get an office space mainly to, again, just resolve this idea of, you know, of meeting somewhere and have a consistent place to meet. And so really, it was just the natural progression. Like as we got enough people, we needed a place that would have, you know, decent internet. When you get 20 people in a hotel lobby, the one thing that happens before you get kicked out is you take down the internet. And one of the conferences that we go to fairly consistently is WWDC, which just happened a week ago. But what happens there is they give out these huge disk image files with the new latest software on, and then everybody tries to download it. Right. And so you get everybody in the hotel lobby, and it wasn't just us, right? It's other companies as well that have been sent out.
You've got hundreds and hundreds of people at this conference downloading it at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's like 4 or 5 gigabyte. Yeah. So imagine that, but like all the time. We were just, you know, we were killing the internet everywhere we went. And yeah. So we do still have a conference where everybody meets up. We do that once a year. But otherwise, we generally have team-related, we call them in kind of internal conferences, and we have those on a more consistent basis, and we usually have those at the office. There are the, you know, the slight ones where we'll meet at someone's house or something like that, but most of the time we meet in the office, and it's nice, the consistency of going to the same place and, you know, mm-hmm. visiting Toronto, which is where our office is, mm-hmm. has been really nice.
So is anyone there during the week, or are you only using it for kind of group meetups?
We have people who are in Toronto, and there's no necessity to come into the office, but on Tuesdays and Thursdays, people are generally in. Hmm. So there's a mix of kind of, you know, developers, customer service, all kinds of, you know, people. But yeah, no specific team is based in Toronto.
But is it ghost, like ghost town, Monday, Wednesday, Fridays? Like it's totally, totally vacant? I'm just trying to get a picture of how you're using this space.
So the Toronto office is now like huge, because we had a problem before where when everybody would descend on it, it was too small. But like every other day of the week, it was almost empty most of the time. But I would say a year ago, I actually moved to Toronto and I was in the office every day. But it was me and a friend of mine who's a developer at 1Password, and it would just be the two of us most of the week.
Wow. And how, okay, wow. And it's a big space, as you said, because it has to be able to house your 150 people, presumably, for when you have these big meetings.
Yeah, I mean, we've never had everyone at the same time in the office. Our once a year meetup, we actually do a cruise. So
okay.
When you have 150 people, and you get them all to meet up, and they all have like different dietary requirements. And, you know, some people want more alone time than others. And some people want, like, you know, to socialize all the time. It becomes a really difficult thing to kind of organize. And I know loads of remote companies, you know, go all different types of places, or I've heard, you know, some have different teams that go different places. But really, the conference for us once a year is so that we can meet everyone who we work with and talk across teams that perhaps wouldn't talk otherwise.
Right.
So it's important for us that everyone is there. And so what we tend to do is we doing on a cruise ship. And the advantage of that is you don't get like five people that go to one restaurant and then five people that go to another, and then you kind of all get separated and lost, and it leaves someone who can't find anybody and all this kind of stuff. Right. You are on a ship in the middle of the sea. You have to interact with your coworkers.
Yes. Yeah, that makes sense. And lots of value added. I think that's a great logistic way to do it. I think that makes a ton of sense. And it scales really easily because they're designed to be able to house thousands of people, potentially.
Yeah, the only downside is they're really not good for the environment. And I do feel kind of bad every time I go on one. But, you know, these things are going to run regardless, right?
That's true. That's true. What is the value of having these retreats? You know, I've seen remote companies where they don't have retreats. You know, I've got some developers who I've worked with for 5 years who I've never met in person, although I'd love to. But like, what would be, so how is that? What's the cadence of how often you do them? I think you said once a year in the office, and once a year cruise. And then how important is that?
So yeah, it's once a year, and the kind of the office conferences are as and when, you know, when we need to ship a big product or when we need to do something and all concentrate on that one thing. But yeah, so the conference on the ship, it's a really good time to kind of reset, I think, is the one advantage to that. It's a good idea to get everybody in the same place and say what we're going to focus on for the next year. So for example, this year's conference, you know, we had a real problem with customer service. We weren't answering people quick enough, you know, and building a product is basically half of what we do. The other half is supporting that product. It's really important to us that every customer gets a good, friendly, concise, helpful answer from our staff and just a friendly contact, right? We hold people's most secure, most valuable data. When you can't get access to it from some technical reason, it incites panic, right? As it should. So supporting the product is really important. And, you know, we had a long tail back of customer service answers. And it was because, you know, we couldn't just hire another customer service person. We had to think about how we were gonna reorganize and how we were gonna scale the answering of these tickets. It used to be that as soon as you joined 1Password, you kind of got dropped in the deep end and you were, you know, given all the documentation and just, hey, go answer tickets. And now it's a bit more kind of, you know, you learn one specific thing and then you do all the tickets towards that one specific thing. And then you learn another thing and then you talk to customers on that other thing. And you kind of build that up one by one as you go.
So how did you come to terms with coming up with this new process, and how was this retreat kind of integral with that? Like, were you not able to somehow get the 15 or 20 kind of key decision makers in Slack or on a video chat? You know, what was the dynamic of doing it in a conference or a retreat where everyone was together? How was that helpful?
So, and one interesting and odd thing that we do that's probably different from every other remote company, we don't do video.
Oh, what?
We don't have video calls. When we interview, we generally sometimes do it via text and, you know, maybe have a phone call. But yeah, we, you know, when you started this call and it was on video, that was a little bit jarring to me.
Wow.
I think it's an element of we want everybody to be like really comfortable.
Oh.
And like, you know, with video, I don't know. I tend to find I just look at myself. Maybe this is egotistical. I tend to find I just kind of look at myself and make sure I'm looking okay and not, you know, wearing pajamas or anything like that. And
okay,
I generally
guilty.
Find
okay,
like,
that's fair.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it really helps. Like, okay, the argument is, you know, you read people's body language and things like that. But like,
right.
I do that in person, but I'm not sure I do that over video. I think it just makes me kind of uncomfortable. And
interesting,
we've never done it from day one. Actually, that's not true. We have one a year, and that's for Secret Santa, and that's because you have to open your present.
But it's apart harder from to that, do over audio to hear them unwrapping.
Yeah, you have to kind of do an audio description of what you get. But like, no, we just generally find it's a lot nicer.
So how is it different video than seeing someone in person? Because that's, I guess that's my argument for it is, it's almost like having coffee with someone when you're doing a video call. Like, it's as close as you can possibly get, apart from reaching out and, you know, shaking their hand and talking to them in person.
Yeah, I think there's an element of when I am out of the house and I am concentrating on the interaction and all these kind of things, like that's something that I am actively doing in person. Mm. Whereas when I'm on video and I'm trying to concentrate on kind of, you know, what we're talking about and what we are working on, I want to do that and I want to think about all those things rather than kind of trying to read your body language over video or anything like that. I think it just adds an extra thing that I don't really need to worry about, right? It's like wearing the same thing every day, which I don't do. But like,
are you sure though? People, I can't see people, you. So is that the same thing?
some people wear the same thing every day because it right. helps them, right? It's one more thing that yeah. they don't need to think about. You know, I don't want you to judge the fact that the plant behind me is dying a little, so I'll move it and put another plant there. Like, I don't need to think about that.
Yeah.
But anyway, we kind of got off on a sidetrack there.
That's fine. I love how intentional you guys are about actually thinking about that and making that part of your company, you know, ethos. I think that's amazing that you guys have done that. And it sounds like it's really helpful for the people in your company, or at least you, because you're wearing the same thing every day, which is entirely fine. You know, I don't judge that. So
it's the remote yeah. equivalent of when you're at like a trendy company and everybody's not, you know, everybody's in trendy clothing, and then the new person mm-hmm. shows up in a full suit, right? It's just yes. avoiding that awkwardness of, oh, you know, okay. So yeah. like I just think it just avoids a whole level of, you know, of again awkwardness or difference to bring up or anything like that.
Yeah, and I hope some listeners actually will really resonate with that and maybe try it out. I think that'd be great. And if they do, I'd love for them to reach out, and any feedback I get, you know, I'll pass it on to you, say, hey, you really inspired these people, that, you know, for those people that wear the same things. But that's great. Listen, I'm glad we did that tangent. But so the original question I said was like, how are, and you did cover some of it, is how are these retreats kind of integral to these kind of deep core issues that you guys are working through? For example, trying to figure out these core issues related to the customer service. Like how come that can happen versus a conference call, which presumably you guys have, right? You guys still do that?
Yeah. So we have a call every month that's called the All Hands. And, you know, that's fairly a standard thing to do, right? It's an update from kind of from the CEO down to everybody that's like, here's what happened and here's what's potentially coming up. But this is mm-hmm. the change in customer service was not really about that. It required a change from everyone. And by that, you know, everybody in our company does customer service. I answer probably about 20 tickets. I shouldn't say tickets, 20 conversations with customers, you know, every day.
Oh, wow.
And that's okay. from, you know, anything from like, you know, my version of iOS stopped working to, hey, you know, can you sponsor my podcast or appear on my podcast? Like I generally get the more difficult ones because people kind of, you know, pass them to me, and more difficult in the sense of, you know, it's a decision that needs to be made rather than a technical solution.
Sure.
But yeah, I you know, I'm talking to customers all the time. And so mm-hmm. this change affected everyone in the entire company. And so if we had done it as in we, you know, we get the team leads together or we get some group of people and not everyone, I don't believe it would have been as successful as it was.
Because what's that core thing that's different when it is in person?
I think it's communicated
from the top that this is what's going to happen? Okay, it was a discussion of like, this actually might help us.
Yeah, and I think it was the, you know, the thing that we do every time we get together is do stuff rather than just talk about it. And that's what happened mm-hmm. here. You know, we set up all of the things that we needed to make this a success while we were all in the same room. And so I think that was the key. And mm-hmm. and you know, we have a focus like that pretty much every year of like, okay, this is our focus for the year. Let's set up everything that we need now, and then, you know, let's get sick for a week, which happens every time. You know, you get 150 people from all around the world in a very close, confined, germ-ridden ship. And, you know, the next week, it's, yeah, you just kind of live through it.
Hmm.
And then, yes, that's the not so great thing about remote work is, as soon as you work from home, every time you go outside, you seem to get sick because you're not around it all the time.
That's true.
But yeah, like it's the that setup every year of, okay, this is like, we had a good year. This year we're going to do this, and here's how we're going to do this. And then you spend the week kind of thinking about it and organizing and talking across teams and stuff like this. And then, yeah, you're set up then to move forward for the rest of the year.
Wow. That sounds great. I mean, I could see the value of having everyone in the same place now to have that discussion around some core thing that's a priority for the company. Very cool. Matt, we're coming to the end of the time for our call. You know, any kind of final thoughts that you want to share?
I don't think so. No, I'm good. I'm interested in what your audience thinks of, you know, kind of our little weird setup that we have.
Yeah.
And yeah, if you want to come and work at 1Password, check out 1Password.com/jobs.
Wicked. I will mention too that we have a 1Password promotion going on if you're a listener for building remote teams. All you got to do is just sign up for the mailing list and we will send you a link to the page that has that promotion code. Matt, thanks a lot for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, real pleasure. Okay, until next time, folks, thanks for listening to Building Remote Teams. Cheers for now. As you guys know, I'm on a mission to kill the commute. So if you're able to leave a review on iTunes, that would be huge to get the message out. Two reviews, one from Blair Beckwith, who says, "My first remote job went terribly because there's so few resources about how to adjust. Jevon's been doing remote longer than remote's been cool, so he knows enough to dive in the right topics." Another one from Victoria, "Super helpful and insightful. Love the companies you're interviewing. I'm brand new to the remote team world, and this podcast is helping me take the next steps in recruiting and managing new people in my business." Great. Thanks for the reviews. And if you leave a review, I will read it on the show. Thanks. Cheers.